Hello, and welcome to the teaching ministry of Faith Word Fellowship, where faith in the Word leads to a more intimate fellowship with God. We're excited to bring you this teaching of Mark Roberson, pastor of Faith Word Fellowship, where we're building people of vision, people of valor, and people of victory. Now let's join Pastor Mark as he delivers this week's teaching.
I give you and only you all the honor, the glory, and the praise for the revelation that you've been having me to share as we have come into this new year. Thank you for what this revelation is doing to us, for what it's doing in us, for what it's causing to take place upon us, and then what it will cause us to not only become, but to do this year, all because of the light of this revelation. Thank you, Father. I give you praise for it all in Jesus' name. All God's people say amen. Come on, open your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. I've been in a series that I've entitled, No More Toil and Toleration, Expect Multiplication. No more toil and toleration, expect multiplication. One of the things that I shared when I was in Canada last week, and I've shared it before here in Buffalo, that I want to remind you of. When I'm teaching the Word, I don't teach to just give information out. I'm teaching where I'm wanting to go and what God is doing in me. So the revelation that I'm sharing is the revelation He's exposing me to at this time in my life. And so since I'm a gift in the body of Christ, that means that those that He has brought under my covering, those that He has brought under my influence, those He has brought under this anointing that He's given me, well, they should be exposed to it too. And that's how I teach. I never teach from a place of being detached from what I'm sharing. I'm teaching from a place of being connected to what I'm sharing because I want to see it. And so we've been looking at this about no more toil and toleration. I know about toil, and because I would have a tendency to make some things difficult, some things complicated, and God would tell me to get my head out of the way. I'm a very logical person, and I have learned over the years how to yield my logical position to the Spirit of God and trust Him. So I don't use my logical stance and position as a badge, so to speak. I used to, and didn't realize that was a proudful place, and pride was the foundation of it all. But I have humbled myself under His mighty hand, trusting Him to exalt me in His timing. And so I give Him praise for this. I have preached from Luke chapter 5 for many years, and all of it has led to this place that I want to share with you tonight, and it's the place of multiplication. And see, you have to take the time to listen to what we've already covered about no more toil and no more toleration, or you won't get to this place. Now, I'm speaking from experience. I'm speaking from what I know, because God has been talking to me about the anointing of multiplication for years. And there was a reason why I couldn't see more, I couldn't encounter more, I couldn't engage more. It's because where I was, my perspective on how I viewed things. So let's go ahead and read our scripture so we can dive off into this, so I can show you from the scriptures what I'm talking about. Let's start at verse 1, Luke chapter 5. You should have it by now. Of course, you know I'm reading from the King James Bible, and you follow along with whatever translation you have. And it says in verse 1, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon Him to hear the word of God, He, Jesus, stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him, or asked him, that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Verse 4, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. And look at verse 9. We'll stop here. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught or haul of the fishes which they had taken. So we've been talking about no more toil and toleration. Expect multiplication. Now, one of the things that I want you to understand is that it is God's plan and God's purpose that his church, the body of Christ, should be constantly increasing. And this constant increase is manifested through, watch this, progress, through growth, through expansion, and yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, and through multiplication. Put this down in your notes and so that you can understand where I want to take you tonight. The Bible, are you listening? Watch this. The Bible is a unified and unfolding revelation of multiplication. Let me say that again. The Bible is a unified and unfolding revelation of multiplication. Jesus. Wow. It is a unified and unfolding revelation of multiplication. So, as we go further in these next few sessions that I'll be on this, as we deal with multiplication, I want you to know that my purpose now is to stimulate your faith so that you and I can walk in this realm of multiplication. And we're going to look at some things. So I'm purposing with the help of the Holy Ghost to stir your heart in the scriptural expectation of living a life experiencing the manifestation of multiplied blessings. Don't get me wrong now. Don't do yourself a disservice and only attach multiplication to material things. It does include that, but that's not the sum total of it. Jesus walked in an anointing of multiplication. So he walked in this manner of where his influence was multiplied. What he imparted was multiplied. Are you listening? His authority was released in a multiplied fashion. I'm going to show you some things. So through this teaching, as we go further now, we want to raise your expectations so that you will live expecting to receive blessings in a multiplied fashion. Now, when I use the word blessings, I'm using the word, watch this, you can interchange the word blessings with empowerings or an empowerment, okay? I want you and I to get to this place where we live our lives in a multiplied fashion, where you consistently live by the multiplication factor, Jesus. And you have to be, watch this, dear hearts, be intentional about releasing your faith for multiplication. Now, we can see this multiplication effect and impact and manifestation in the passage of scriptures that we just read, because, watch this, when Peter told Jesus, when he finally got into agreement, and this is what you're going to have to do. This is why we went the way we did, as the Lord led us, by dealing with no more toil and showing you how to be delivered from a toiling mindset, and then show you about toleration and show you how to be delivered from a tolerating attitude, this place of acceptance. And you have to keep pushing at that, because listening to a teaching once or twice, you don't get there. That's what God had to work in me and work through me for years, because of this tolerating attitude that was embedded in me. And he had to get me to the place of understanding that when I am tolerating something, I am minimizing my authority in that same situation. And he didn't want me to do that. See, God never wants you or I as his children to be put in a place where we minimize, that's not a good word, minimize, where we, I'm going to use this word, dishonor what he has given us access to and who he has made us to be. He doesn't want us to live in that place of dishonor. You are a child of the Most High God. Oh, I got something for you. I'm gonna try to only share a portion tonight, but man, I got something for you. I got something for you. Let's look at this. Peter, when he followed Jesus' instruction and he let down the net, I know some translation says nets. I like the King James Bible, because that's the revelation God gave me and has been pulling out of me for years. Look at verse 6 and 7. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net break. Now think with me. How many fishes would it take to cause a commercial fisherman's net to break? But then, watch this. The net broke. Excuse me. Verse 7 says, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And watch the multiplication manifestation. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. Now, watch this. Jesus, the question could come up. If you knew that you was going to have Peter in position to receive a haul of fish that would fill two ships, not just one, and fill them to the place or effect where both ships look like they're almost sinking from the weight of the fish, why you just didn't have Peter to call his partners and both of them go out at the same time? It's the will of God to do some things that will amaze us and astound us, because he's in, watch this, the business of doing more. Now watch this. Let's back up and look at Peter again. When he was in this toleration attitude and this toiling mindset, Peter was ready to go home. He was tired, weary, and worn out. Now listen, if you're not careful this year, you will allow yourself to live by scaling back on what you expect God to do because of what you're tired from, because you've given in and allowed yourself to become weary. Remember this verse, Galatians 6:9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You know, there are some Christians who have gotten to the place where when you tell them that their due season is coming, they're tired of it. Oh, well, when is my due season going to come? When is my due season going to come? Due season always comes when the timing of God meets your readiness for God. See, in this new year, put this down in your notes, there's going to have to be an alignment, agreement, an expectation for abundance, and an intentional activation. Let me say it again. In this new year, there's going to have to be an alignment. I'm going to have to put myself in alignment with the will of God, of course, which is the word of God, but with the will of God. In this situation, Peter had to put himself in alignment with what Jesus said, what Jesus's expectation was, what the will of God was that Jesus was releasing. He had to put himself in alignment with it, regardless of how he felt, regardless of how tired he was, regardless of how weary he was, regardless of how worn out he had been. There's going to have to be an alignment. Number two, there's going to have to be an agreement. An agreement. This agreement is going to have to take place on the inside where I align my thoughts with the thoughts of God. Notice Jesus never talked about what Peter did that night. He said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a drought. Notice that he didn't talk about how tired Peter looked. And he's not going to talk about how tired you look. No matter how many times you pray that, Lord, don't you know I'm tired? Oh, God, won't you do something? Oh, God. See, that's where I used to be. And God was trying to bring me out of that place of disempowerment. But I thought I was being real. I didn't know that I was putting myself in a position of being disempowered. I was nullifying the authority God had given me, the power he had deposited on the inside of me, and I was, watch this, crippling my own faith. I didn't realize that by talking my tiredness, talking my weariness, talking about how I was worn out. So I've been at this place expecting, moving to, watch this anointing of multiplication, reaching for it for a long time now, allowing God to pull out of me what needed to come out and deposit within me what needed to be deposited, and then show me how to cultivate it. Show me how to develop it. Show me how to come into agreement with it. Show me how to come into alignment with it. And then show me how to, watch this, begin to have and live by an expectation of abundance that I wouldn't be talked out of. And then get to the place of where I'm determined to live in this intentional activation. So those again are, we got to have an alignment, agreement, and expectation of abundance. And intentional activation. So here in Luke 5, Peter got an agreement with Jesus in spite of how tired he was, in spite of how he had toiled all night long, and regardless of how he had felt and what he now had allowed himself to tolerate. His agreement cause him to come into alignment with Jesus and position him to receive what Jesus was activating for him. Now, let's see something about Peter. He didn't expect God to do anything, you know, at first about his situation. He was ready to go home. He didn't even invite God in the situation. He didn't consult God about the situation. He accepted what had happened. He didn't trust God concerning the situation. He didn't even know God's word about the situation. Why am I pointing all of this out? Because I'm talking to somebody tonight. See, just like Peter, you may have also settled for what your hands can produce instead of taking into consideration the God factor, what God can produce. So God, in my own life, he had to get me to the place of where internally, on the inside of me, I was going to be locked into what he said, regardless of what I saw on the outside of me. And so here I am believing God for what he said, and he's revealing to me about this multiplication anointing, about this multiplication factor, and about how he is a God of multiplication and how he wants to do more and do more with me and do more in my life. But I wasn't ready for it. And so one of the things that he had to do in me, he had to get me to the place where I stopped feeling threatened by other people's questions to me. You know, people will come and question and say, oh, if you believe God like that, then where are your results? Where are your results? And I come tonight to tell you, don't ever feel threatened by people's questions. Where are your results? Don't let that trouble you. Don't let that challenge you. They may say, if you're believing God for results in this particular area, why haven't you gotten your results yet? Don't let that bother you. Because now, see, God got me to a place of resolve. And so I will respond and say, well, why haven't you seen heaven yet? You believe in heaven. Or why haven't you seen Jesus' face yet? You believe in Jesus. See, he got me to understand that I have to guard my heart against focusing only on myself. And I want you to know tonight, in order to move into this place where you're living a life of multiplication, you have to guard your heart against focusing only on yourself, how this situation matters to you, how this situation affects you, how this situation troubles you, how this situation is making you feel. Because when you tap into this multiplication anointing, you leave the natural realm. You leave what you know as normal. You leave regular Jesus. Glory to God. Because there will no longer be anything regular about you. That's how Jesus walked this earth. See, Jesus always knew, for example, John 10:10, the thief cometh not before to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus said, but I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Well, look back at Luke 5. Simon said that he had toiled all the night and had taken nothing. He didn't see that as satanic interruption or satanic interference, because the thief cometh not but for to, come on, steal, kill, and destroy. He didn't realize he was tolerating the enemy stealing what he had a right to. Because you and I, we have a right to the fruit of our labor. Remember, I already shared with you, there's a big difference between working and toiling. Because even after Jesus told him to launch out into the deep and let down his nets for a drought, he had to go out in the water. The same waters that he failed in before, God had him go right back there, work and pull in this multiplied, massive manifestation, Jesus. So, guard your heart against focusing only on yourself. Now, let me just share this with you. There are some times when I was believing God and God was developing me and training me in, you know, the things I've been teaching you and been preaching to you and what we have been learning together. But then there are some times now I'm trying to trust God and then I see Cheryl affected. And so Cheryl was bothered, and by her being bothered and being affected, it affected me. That was not her intention to affect me. That was not her intention to pull me out of any position of faith. That was not her intention of causing this negative image to come on the inside of me, because now I'm thinking that I must be failing because my wife is feeling this way. I must be failing because my wife is looking like this. I must be failing because she's not happy. She's not. And so this is where we have to guard against focusing on ourselves, because listen, the devil will use how you feel to influence someone else. Now, Jesus didn't allow how Peter felt to influence him. And what God was trying to do with me, you know, over the years, he was trying to teach me how to encourage Cheryl, how to pull her up, how to cover her, how to support her, how to strengthen her. And I did not know how to do that. I had to learn how to do that. So how I didn't see her being attacked by the adversary. I saw her as being affected by what I couldn't do to make her happy. Now keep a marker there at Luke 5 real quick, Luke 5, and flip over to Romans 8 real quick. Very familiar. Watch this, Romans 8, real quick. Glory to God. I'm spending so much time in this intro, but it's all good, Look at this, Romans 8. And here's where God was developing me and strengthening me to overcome this place. Look at this, Romans 8, you know this. See, when you focus on yourself, let me say that again. When you focus on your, say it, self, you're now locked into a flesh position, a carnal position, a natural position. Look what the Bible says. You know this. Romans 8, it says, verse number 5, for they that are after the flesh, or focusing on self, do mind, pay attention to, focus on the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So look at this verse. So they're focusing on themselves because they are after the flesh. They're not after the Spirit. And I'm going to God praying about how Cheryl is affected and how I must be failing as a husband. How I must not be good enough. Well, that wasn't Cheryl's intention. I didn't look at it as God is also developing Cheryl. God is also teaching Cheryl. God is also bringing her to a place of development and maturity. I'm looking at, man, we're in this situation and this is how it's affecting Cheryl. And it's affecting her because of either I'm not good enough or I'm not productive enough. I'm not prosperous enough. So now here the adversary is getting two for one. And God had to, through all these years and through the process, develop me, develop me, develop me to move past this place and get out of this. Look at this. Look at verse number 5 again. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. And this is what happens when you're in that place. Look at verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death. The thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. He has to get this person to focus on themselves carnally. So then now this person will start thinking about what I'm losing out in life. And then they start bringing up, they'll bring up their age. Oh, I'm so-and-so, and I haven't even been able to do this. I haven't been able to have this. I've been having, are you following me? And what will happen is you're forfeiting this grace or this anointing of multiplication. This is where Peter was. Listen, listen. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. The thief cometh not before to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, but I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Or we can even say in a multiplied fashion. See, the abundant life includes every anointing that produces life and spreads life, expands it, extends it. Are you listening to me, Jesus? And verse 7 says, because the carnal mind is enmity or antagonistic against God. It's not going to cooperate with God. There's some people I'll share with them the word. I'll pray with them. I'll lay my hands on them. I'll give them words of wisdom and whatever God gives me for them. And then they'll still say, yeah, but I don't see that. They're not trying to, because they haven't developed a want to on the inside. We got to give Peter credit. Even though he didn't feel it, he didn't allow his want to be killed, because he did respond to Jesus. Listen, verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's going to move against God. It's not going to accept anything that's of God. It's not going to accept words of God. It's not going to accept the direction of God. It's not going to accept the spirit of God. It's not going to expect the influence of God. It's not going to accept the impartation of God. For because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject, say subject. It's not subject to the law of God. And that law of God is the law of faith. It's the law of life. It's the law of love. It's the law of the anointing. It's not subject. It won't become a subject to. It will not consider the multiplication factor because it's stuck on the me factor. What about me? And it says, neither indeed can be. And then verse 8 says, so then they that are in the flesh, come on, say it, looking out for self, looking out for self. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Why? You can't please self and please God. You can please God, and then he will elevate self. That's why the Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. See, become subject to. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that so that he may exalt you in due time. All right, let's go back to Luke 5. And let me show you some things real quick. And we'll end it right here. And we'll pick it up next time. We'll pick it up next time. You have to understand that you can have more and do more if you expand your capacity to believe for more. And I'm trying to use my personal testimony to show you how I got to this place where I am today and how I'm still reaching. I'm still reaching. And I'm no longer threatened by people's questions. Well, where are your results? Since you believe in God for that, because God has given me his wisdom and man, and I see where they are. And I just simply respond, then where is heaven? How do you believe in heaven? You haven't seen it. And they say, well, I know heaven is coming. I said, just like you know heaven is coming, I know my multiplication is also coming. It's taking place because I'm causing it to come forth in the name of Jesus. You have to be intentional about releasing your faith for multiplication. Go with me real quick. Go with me to Genesis chapter 1. Let's look at something. Genesis chapter 1. Let's look at two verses here, verses 26 and 28. Look at this. Genesis chapter 1, I'm going to go ahead and read for time's sake. Verse 26 says, "And God said, let us make man in our image." Now, I got something for you. Jesus, where is that note? "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." And that's how Jesus operated. He operated in the image of God, or as the image of God. Watch this. Watch this. Where's that note I got for y'all? Jesus. Glory to God. The image of God is not an image of poverty. It's not an image of defeat. God does not have a poor image of himself. God does not have an image of lack. God does not have an insufficient image of himself. He doesn't see himself doing without. And I already pointed this out. In Luke 5, Jesus did not see Peter doing without. How often have you accepted doing without because something in the natural realm told you it wasn't responding to you? Something in the natural realm said it didn't have enough for you. Something in the natural realm. It could have been your pocketbook, your bank account, your check, your salary, whatever it is. It could have been closed doors. Something in the natural realm spoke to you and tried to convince you that it did not have enough for you, even though you call yourself a Christian. God says, we're making them in our image and in our likeness, our semblance, what we resemble. God doesn't see himself doing without or being without. Come on, write yourself a note. God doesn't see himself doing without or being without. Therefore, I'm not to tolerate that condition neither. I'm not to tolerate that condition. I'm not to tolerate that kind of position. And Jesus wouldn't allow Peter to end up like that. Whether or not Peter went home with fish, was that Jesus' responsibility? Yes. Why? Because Peter sold into Jesus' ministry by allowing Jesus to use his boat. That seed connected him to the result Jesus knew was the will of God for Peter. A multiplied, massive manifestation. Glory to God. Look at this. God doesn't see himself doing without or being without. He doesn't see himself lacking or coming up short in any area of his existence. And he made us the same way. Now, look at verse 28. Look at verse 28. We're looking at verse 28 on my Wednesday night session, prayer sessions. Verse 28 says, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Wait a minute. Let's read that again. "And God blessed them, and God said unto them." He was not communicating his feeling. When he released his words, he was imparting an empowerment to them to be fruitful, to multiply, to replenish the earth, to subdue it, and to have dominion. And as I share with them in my Wednesday night, who was God talking to? Who was he talking to? Because Adam and Eve had not been made yet. Adam got made in Genesis chapter 2. In Genesis chapter 1, everybody who would ever walk the earth from that moment of creation till now and beyond us now was in the mind and heart of God, and God was speaking to mankind. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion. And that's why you and I always have a desire for more on the inside of us. That's why you and I always have this desire for better. That's why you and I have this inclination and this desire to see new things, because it's the will of God for you and I to experience the new things that He does for our lives and to our lives. Let me get ready to end this. So, verse 26 tells you what to do, who God made you. Verse 28 tells us how to do it, to be fruitful, to multiply. Now, let me say this to you. Verse 26 tells you who you are. You're made in the image of God. And because of that, and you're made after His likeness, He tells you what to do. Have dominion. Verse 28 tells you how this dominion is to be expressed. This dominion in Genesis 1:28 is to be expressed through you becoming fruitful, that you will flourish. When you and I become fruitful, that is the dominion of God being expressed through us. When you multiply and learn to flow and cooperate with the multiplication anointing, that's God's dominion being expressed and flowing through you. When you replenish the earth and not just take from the earth, but you operate in this place of restoration, you operate in this place of replenishment, you operate in this place of filling things, rejuvenating things. That's why you always, when you see somebody on empty, you always, your heart go out to them and you want to encourage them. You want to restore them. You want to bring them to this place. You want to rejuvenate them. And then you subdue whatever goes wrong in life. You subdue it. That's God's dominion being expressed through you and flowing through you. Have dominion. Have dominion. So, our God is a God of multiplication, and I'll end right here tonight. Look at this one verse from Ezekiel chapter 37. You go ahead and turn there. That's the verse I'm ending on. Ezekiel chapter 37. God is a God of multiplication. And you got to understand, and let me show you this in closing this. When God, when God adds to us, like the Bible says, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. When He adds to us, it's not one more on top of another. That's how you and I view addition. One on top of the other. One more coming in. No, that's not God. God's addition is a multiplied dimension on top of what He's already multiplied to us. Adding additional layers of His grace and His favor on us is a form of acceleration. So when you see the addition of God, you got to think acceleration. God is causing more to come to you, and it's not just one at a time. That's not God. Not one coming in. That's why when you see Peter with the net and the net broke, all the fishes that was there not only filled one boat, it filled two boats, and it was so heavy in filling them that both boats were almost sinking. A multiplied manifestation. All right, let's end this. Let's end this. Let's end this. Ezekiel 37, verse 26. Just to show you that God is a God of multiplication. And I'm going to share more and more. And there's so many scriptures. You'll be surprised at how many scriptures have the word multiply, multiplied, multiplication in it, or some form of it. Over 42 times in the King James Version, you see the word multiply. Well, look at this. Ezekiel 37, verse 26 from the King James. Moreover, God says, I will make a covenant of peace with them. Stop. This covenant of peace is a covenant of shalom, or a covenant of wholeness. A covenant of wholeness, which includes prosperity. It includes progress. It includes preservation. It includes protection. It includes promotion. I will make a covenant of peace with them. Look at this. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them. Okay? Come on, think with me. Everlasting. That means it'll never end. That means it'll never end. It can never diminish in intensity. It can never diminish in strength or power. It can never diminish in effect or impact. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them or position them and multiply them and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. Now, we know this is God's covenant with the Hebrew people, the Israelites, and we see him. It didn't stop there. This extends to you and I. Now watch this. Somebody said, well, Pastor Mark, when he talked about multiplying them, he was just talking about increasing them in number. You know, increasing, you know, so they can become a multitude. Okay, now wait a minute, wait a minute. If that's your question and your argument, then watch this. When you have more people, what are you going to need? More provision. Because more people means a greater demand. Well, where are they? They're going to need some help. God, are you creating or causing them to be multiplied just so now they can all of them be on welfare? All of them be struggling, stressing, and straining in life? No. No. He's multiplying them, not just in number, but in effect. Everything that would affect them to be part of the multiplied number, God says, I'm providing for. Jesus, glory to God. Now, he set his sanctuary in the midst of them, but with you and I, he made you and I his sanctuary. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You have the source of multiplication on the inside of you. And I can't tell you how long I've been praying. Lord, show me how. Show me how. Show me how. Show me how to utilize it. Show me how to access it. Show me how. Show me how to activate it, Lord. I want to know how. One of the things he had to deliver me from, you ready for this? My carnal attempts to try to act on the word of God to see something to make my flesh comfortable. That's all. I'm trying to believe the word because it was my carnal attempts, because I see it in the word and I want God to give it to me. God, give it to me so my flesh can be comfortable. It wasn't about the kingdom. It wasn't about pleasing God. It was about Mark Robinson wanting to become more comfortable. And I had to learn. I had to be delivered from, you ready? Self-centeredness. Get my eyes off of me. Get my eyes off of myself, my flesh, because a carnal mind is enmity against God. And it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So I had to learn. And still I'm learning more and more. And that's enough. Glory to God. That's it. You hear it? Y'all hear it? Y'all hear it? That's it. I had to learn. And so my prayer is, I'm going to show you some more. And a lot of this I've been carrying for 10 years plus. 10 years plus. When some things he started trickling and giving to me, that was about 20 years ago. And somebody said, Pastor Mark, you must be a slow learner. Well, then what's your excuse? What's your excuse? Don't be looking at me, getting on me. I'm still reaching. I'm still pursuing. I'm doing what he said in Hebrews 11 and 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God, I'm still coming. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. I'm still believing. And that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. I'm still seeking. I'm still seeking. I'm still pursuing. And I'm not stopping. So that's why I say to you, don't settle. Don't scale back. And don't substitute something carnal for what he has awaiting you. Because you're his child. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word tonight. Daddy, open our eyes to see what you want us to see. Open our ears now. I know what my journey has been and where you have, what you have had to do with me just to get me to this place. Lord, I thank you that these listening to me under the sound of my voice, they won't have to wait that long. That's why you had me go through my process so that my process can become their progress in the name of Jesus.
We truly hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Mark Roberson of Faith Word Fellowship. Please visit us at one of our two locations. If you're in Buffalo, New York or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship International. And if you're in the St. Catharines, Ontario, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship Canada. To learn more about Faith Word Fellowship, or to contact Pastor Mark, or to even access other teachings by Pastor Mark, please visit us at www.faithwordfellowship.org. And always remember, one word from God, and you will never be the same again.